to my video people here just briefly. On my screens, I have the video on there this morning, and I can't see what you're seeing. There we go. Thank you very much. I was wondering how you knew the song, the words, because like I don't have anything up here. So thanks for singing this morning. Turn with me in your pew Bible this morning. Third message on anchored in Christ and the assurance of God's promises as we go through this life here upon earth this morning. And so this title of this message is When the Storm Comes. All right? And so we've been going through succession. There's one more next week yet. But I want to talk to you today about when the storm comes. And you can get that. You know what I mean by that, that metaphor when the storm comes into our lives. And so we're going to look at the book of Matthew. What do we build our faith on as it compares to builders? And then also going to go to the book of Acts. And I sent out an email earlier this week about, hey, read this, because it's a lot of reading this morning. Paul's fourth missionary journey, where he goes throughout the Middle East and stuff, and that's part of this, what we're going to share this morning. I can't read it to you in its entirety, because it'd take the whole entire time to do that. So, but let's get started this morning, because there's a lot to go through here. And follow along with me. We're going to start in Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. Once again, this is Jesus speaking these words. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And now turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 27. So Paul, he's in prison. He's being tried. I should say he's not in prison yet, but he's heading there. And he's in Caesarea. And King Agrippa and some others come to try him. And there's this whole court case goes on. They don't think he's guilty, but yet they send him. They want him to go to Rome. And where he'll face the Roman governors, and he'll be put in prison and so on. And this is his journey from Caesarea to Rome. It's a long journey. Many things happen along the way, shipwrecks and all that kind of a thing, and terrible storms. They're going to read bits and pieces of that here this morning. And so, hence my title of my message, When the Storm Comes. So we're going to pick it up at verse 13, chapter 27, entitled The Storm. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity, so they weighed an anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of a hurricane force called a northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure, so the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle over with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night an angel of the Lord God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some islands.'" And of course, the shipwreck happens. And they're out there for 14 days, by the way. And so let's pick it up at verse 39. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea, at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach, but the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow struck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away, from escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get on their planks or on other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and of all the things that Paul endured, get this when I read this. And as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven up by the heat, fastened itself to his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that that word that we read in Matthew and Acts can come to life today. Lord, may you teach us your story and your message to that today. Lord, I pray for all here that have gathered that your Spirit will open their hearts, their minds, and souls to receive your teaching. And I pray, Lord, that these words are yours and not mine. Lord, may you give me a clear mind to bring your message to your people today. And Lord, fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus I pray, amen. How many of you have ever been on a cruise before? Oh, very good, a few of you. Well, I got a story about a cruise ship this morning that might make you think twice about going on a cruise next time you go. So there's this cruise ship off the coast of the United Kingdom 2 weeks ago from this past Friday. So this just happened very recently, and so it was called the Spirit of Discovery. And the ship was full, it was boarded, but it had turned around after entering some rough waters on Saturday morning. So 2 weeks ago from yesterday, it had turned around. And let me just tell you some snippets of what they encountered on this journey on this ship. And this is actually different passengers that weighed in on this. So one passenger told the BBC that the situation was dire. Another said that people feared for their lives. The tone of the voice in our captain was physically scared. We had crew members crying. We had many passengers in awful states of fear. The passengers added that one passenger said people were writing texts to their loved ones in case we capsized and did not make it back to shore. The captain came over the speaker system and said, "Remain seated or lie down wherever you are. Remain." The ship was at a standstill for about 15 hours during the storm, adding that her husband and herself were holding on for dear life. A portion of the dining room was converted into a makeshift medical area for the injured. Passengers were asked to remain in their cabins for a portion of Saturday and all of Sunday. Alan Grisdale, a passenger on the ship, said, "Tables were flying with waves, throwing people around all up and down the place. Even with today's technology, you never know how quickly a storm can change the course or how it can intensify." Now, you might think that I read this and this would have happened a couple hundred years ago, but I want to tell you that this happened a little more than 2 weeks ago off the coast of the United Kingdom. Paul experienced the same thing in his day. So let me ask you some questions this morning about our lives. And this is what I want to share with you this morning. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when the storms of life hit you and I in many different ways. The storms are coming, and there will be adversity, there will be suffering, and there will be pain. So when we are faced with any of these, we need to be prepared beforehand, ready for whatever may come our way. So how prepared are you today? I can't imagine a ship that would leave shore or leave port without an anchor or some kind of a guidance system that could navigate the seas, let alone the storms that it might encounter. How many of you are floating through life with no real direction? How many of you have no greater plan when adversity might strike you or your family or your loved ones? How many of you leave shore without an anchor or a guidance system on board? And so let me just jog your memory, because you might be sitting there thinking, well, Rob, I'm in church every Sunday. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm in my Bible. I pray. All those types of things are good things. But I'm wondering if you get too comfortable in your life. So let me just pull ahead and ask you some other things. Maybe you don't see the need for one. Maybe we've never really had to plan ahead. Maybe we've had a relatively easy life with little to no challenges, and we don't think too often about hardship or suffering. Whatever the case may be, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When the storm comes, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And so let's dig into Scripture this morning. The first verse, set of verses I shared with you out of the book of Matthew chapter 7 compares two types of builders in this story. And it's easy to understand. It's easy to get our mind around this morning. But I want to ask you a few questions about this set of Bible verses. So we know that this is a metaphor. One who builds on a solid rock, the other builds on sand. What Jesus is telling you and I, and I want you to understand this, is that you and I have a choice to make of where we will stand in our faith journey, what we will build upon, what we anchor in our lives. Now, this is what you might not understand, that Jesus is talking to all those people that were gathered together, and I want you to know, this is like me talking to you today. He's talking to believers, followers of him, church-going people is who he speaks this to. And he says, one of you will build on the rock, and one of you is going to go wayward and build on the sand. You have a choice to make, people, of where you stand in your faith walk, especially when the storm comes. See, most people think that, oh, Jesus is talking to a set of believers here, and then he's talking to unbelievers. No, he's talking to church-going people in general. They both are gathered there. They both are following him. They believe in him. But yet there's a difference as followers of Jesus Christ. And what God's really asking, working through Jesus, is that make sure that you're grounded well. Know where you stand in your faith. Believe. I think we'd all agree that it's easy enough to listen to something, but it's even harder to put what you've heard into practice, especially when you read Scripture and you gather here on Sunday morning to hear me preach to you. I have to, not only hear the Word of God, but I also have to respond to the Word of God. And so what you and I need to do as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, when we live our lives and we decide we're going to build on the rock, that means that you're going to be doers of the Word. Doers, responders, you're going to learn, you're going to grow, you're going to change the way you live, you're going to become aware of maybe your sinful ways, and you're going to say, no, I don't want that anymore. That's a doer of the Word. You can sit here all you want on a Sunday morning, and I can preach to you, you can hear the Word of God, but if you're not a doer, you're building your house on the sand. if it's not changing the way that you live your life, you're building your house on the sand. And when the storm comes, you might be washed away. That's what Jesus is telling us here this morning. How often have we listened to the Word of God, but we haven't responded to the Word of God? And I must say that I preach to myself first this morning. How often do we? You know, I can do this. Thou shalt not steal, right? I get it. Right? That's easy to do. But I might pick and choose. Thou shalt not covet. That's a little harder to do, isn't it? But I also want to preach to you this morning grace. Jesus' disciples, they ran with him for 3 years, and they still didn't have it all figured out. And what's so great about a gracious God that we serve, that he's slow to anger, he's filled with grace, he's abounding in love, and he gives you and I time to adjust, to work through it, to become more like Christ in our lives. So you're sitting there today thinking, you know, I hear the Word of God, but I'm maybe not the best doer. Give yourself some grace, but then figure out, what does that mean for me? How do I move forward from today when Rob says that I need to be doers of the Word? Am I living that in my life? It's my challenge for you this morning. Choose to be like the wise builder. Build on the solid rock of Jesus Christ in your life. Now switch gears to me just a little bit this morning. I want to talk about the shipwreck this morning. I want to talk about the storm in Acts 27 and part of verse 28. Paul's fourth missionary journey. By earthly terms, it's a disaster. They didn't get to where they wanted to go. It took way longer than what they're expecting it was going to be. They ran out of food. They lost the ship. They thought they were going to die. But God's plan was more than sufficient. In the midst of all those things that were going on. You know, it's Paul who said this. Philippians 4, verse 11. So I want you to think about being doers of the Word and the things that you encounter in life, the storms that you go through. Because Paul says this, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstance. Can we say that in our own lives today as followers of Jesus Christ? Whatever the circumstance, Lord, I'm content. I'm going to be okay. Whatever the circumstance. So let's talk about Paul's life here. What he experienced, how he responded, what that looked like for him when he walked with Christ. So Acts, if you got your Bible open with, you can follow along with me this morning, but Acts 27, verse 1 through 11, I'm going to kind of step through this morning. I know I didn't read this, but if you did, you'll get it. If you don't, go home and read it today. So we learn in the first 11 verses in that chapter that Paul's a prisoner and he's being transported via ship to Rome, Italy, where he'll be in prison. By verse 9, after many exchanges, we learn that the journey has already been a difficult one, that they lost much time and much of their cargo. And then in verse 10, Paul says, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous. It's going to bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives. And that's the Spirit of God that was speaking to him and leading him and telling him, you need to share what's going to happen to this boat and these people on board. And Paul's essentially saying that disaster might come. No, he's saying that disaster is going to come. It's going to happen. But as you'd imagine, what do? Do they listen to Paul? Do they stay docked at the port and just wait for this storm to go through? Nope. They're going to venture out, a little bit of a south breeze, beautiful day, the sun is shining. Yep, we need to go. And they leave. Why didn't the centurion listen to Paul's warning on the ship? Why didn't he? So let me ask the next question. Why are we so stubborn to the wisdom of the Bible? That's a lot harder one, isn't it? Why don't we build our home on the solid rock of Jesus Christ? Sometimes I think we might build on both, the rock and the sand, depending on where we might find ourselves in life, or maybe what's happening to us or what's going on. And then the storm comes. They're out to sea. The ship is wrecked. All the people involved are terrified except for Paul, who has complete faith and assurance that this will end well. Can you imagine being on that ship? And Paul's explaining to them, you know, I met an angel of the Lord last night, and he said that we're all going to be okay. I'm sure they feared greatly. And then they land on this island of Malta in chapter 28. And if you got your Bible open, look what it says. I got to skip ahead here a few. Acts 27. There we go, right here. Yes, on the bottom of your screen. Acts 28, verse 2. It said this. We're shipwrecked. We got off the ship. We ran down to the beach. We all made it. And then the islanders showed some unusual kindness to them, only by the grace of God. And who are these people that are on the ship? 246 people are on the ship, not just six or eight floating in a little 16-foot boat with a motor on the back. 246 people come ashore. Most of them are prisoners that have done bad things, that probably have killed people. Now, if you were on this island and you seen this ship come in and you see these people coming at you, what would your response be? Fear. If you had a gun, would you draw it? Say, slow down. Would you run into the woods and try to find shelter to see what this is going to be about and how this is going to play out? Look what they did. Where the islanders showed us unusual kindness by the grace of God. They seen they were cold. They seen they were wet. They seen that they were probably hungry. How many days were they out there? 14. And they start a fire for them. They care for them. And then if Paul had had enough, Paul, he chips in. He helps out. And as he's chucking wood into the fire, snake comes out and bites him in the hand. Can you just imagine? I can't imagine how this would look. Just imagine all kinds of people around this fire. And Paul's got a bundle of sticks and he's chucking it in. And all of a sudden this water moccasin comes out. He doesn't freak out. He just grabs it, throws it in the fire. Enough of that. And everybody else says, whoa. You're going to be dead here in probably half an hour. And they wait around and they wait for this to happen. And they can't believe that there's nothing wrong with Paul. He's walking around like nothing is wrong at all. And after some time goes by, after he hadn't fallen over dead, their hearts start to change even more. Who is this guy? And then we see this whole prayer ministry take place as he gets to know the people on the island. He notices people that are sick, and so he starts to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he starts to pray with them, and he goes into their house, and he heals the sick. And then the word gets out, and everybody starts to show up. Hey, I'm sick too. Hey, I've been dealing with this for years, this ailment. Paul, can you pray for me? And Paul prays. And people are healed. Now, if you're on that island, how many of you would be thinking this? I don't know who that guy is, but I am scared because of the power that he has. I don't know what's going on, but I don't believe that. Some of us are that way today. We get a little freaked out when people pray and people get healed. But this is exactly what Jesus teaches us in the scriptures. Pray for people and God will bring healing in many ways. I think the island of Malta was changed by a shipwreck. And Jesus spread through the land, through the island. Many were healed. They'd spent quite a bit of time there. It's expected that they probably stayed there for 2 or 3 months, lived life with them, and he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we get this whole story of another ship came, and as they were preparing to leave the island, the islanders, they packed the ship with food and probably clothes and whatever they needed for the journey. They want to make sure that they went well to Rome. And where's Paul heading? What's he looking forward to? Prison. Content with every circumstance that came into his life. He accepted it. He didn't turn from it. He didn't run from it. He didn't back down from it. He went through it because he knew that God was walking with him right through the midst of it. He knew the power of Jesus Christ in his life, and he wasn't backing down from anything like that. He had assurance of God's promises, and he lived it. Amen to that? That's how he lived his life. I want to talk to you about the storms. There are many storms that come into our lives of all kinds. The storms of cancer, the storms of death, right? The storms of memory loss that we deal with in our world today. The storm of a loss of a loved one. Whatever it might be, the loss of a job, financial ruin, whatever it could be. I want to ask you today, church, as believers in Jesus Christ, are you okay in every circumstance? And can you say that I've built my house on the solid rock that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7? My job as a pastor is to preach the word of God to you, to prepare you for the storm that is coming in your life. Are you prepared? I want you to go home and I want you to think about that today. Because the storms come. And I get to hear and be a part of those storms, not only in this church, but also in our community, of things that enter into people's lives that can be devastating. I received a phone call this past week from a lady that's new to our community that has cancer, and she's terminal, and she's young. The storm entered her life this week, and I don't know how it's going to go, but are you ready for that storm if that hit came to your life? Are you built on the solid rock? I don't know where God's going to do with this young lady. I don't know how this story's going to end. But what I do know is that I trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that's where you and I need to stand. Because I don't know what this week's going to bring. And what story that we might hear. Or that even, I'll say worse yet, that you might be in the midst of in your own life. Church, cling to Jesus. Look at Paul. He's imprisoned for sharing Jesus Christ. He goes out without food for 14 days. He's shipwrecked. He gets bitten by a poisonous snake. And he keeps right on preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the faith that Paul had. I pray that my faith could be that strong. Because I don't think it would be either for what he endured and what he went through. But I do know that I walk with the one that enables us to do that. And so do you as the people of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for Paul's story. We thank you for his message. Lord, there are a lot of storms that go on in this church family. And it's to be expected, as you say, the storms are going to come. Lord, there might be storms that are going on for years. There might be storms that are doubling up on us. Lord, there are storms that are come through that will take us out totally. That will take lives in many different ways. But Lord, may we hold to you. May we remain faithful, knowing that if we run the race, the prize is eternal life with you in heaven through Jesus Christ. Lord, may you fill us with hope today. Lord, and no matter where we're at, we think of the faith of a mustard seed. Lord, that's all you ask. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have it all together. We don't have to pray the right prayer. We don't have to say the right things. Lord, you just ask us to believe. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior who forgives my sins. That's whom we pray in today. And Jesus, I pray. Amen.